Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Terrell, could you turn the air down a little bit? Thank you, sir. Because somebody got it hot. I had it warm up in here. Yes. All right. Just a little bit. We're going to turn it down just a little bit until I get cooled down. All right. We're going to continue along. Last week, we still following these fivefold ministry gifts. What we're trying to do is that in order for us to operate in the culture of honor, we have to get a good understanding, first of all, of those gifts that the Father has given to us to operate in and to train us in the things of God and in the kingdom of God. So we've covered so far, we've covered the apostle. We have some pretty good notes and information on the apostle. We've covered the prophet. We've covered the teacher. Today, we're going to start with the pastor. This is number four in these fivefold ministry gifts. Again, let's turn to our basics, one of our basic scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4. We go back and look at it, and I read the scripture, then I start giving you some information about the pastor. In Ephesians chapter 4, just one passage of scripture tonight. Well, I read 11, 12, and 13. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and the word of God says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Then there's gives a reason, a description of why they gave these, why he gave these fivefold ministry gifts. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I like that part. Till we all get to the point. So we know, we have a destiny. We know where we're going. You know, as we are sitting here and we are learning the Word of God, we are studying, we're seeking after God, and as members of the body of Christ, that should be our destiny. That should be our goal. Until we get to the stature or the fullness of Christ. And we know what he did when he was here on the earth. He came and his whole purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. So let's go and look at some information on the pastors. And where do the pastors fit in? This leader will make sure that the needs of the people are met. First of all, the pastor, that's the shepherd, the over shepherd. Jesus himself was a shepherd. He was a pastor. In fact, Jesus operated in all five of those gifts that he gave to the body of Christ. If you turn to John 10, and we'll see where he was a shepherd. John chapter 10. Looking at verse 11. John 10 and 11. And it's in red here. Jesus is speaking. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So any pastor would give, anything he do, he would give his life for his flock. He said, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. And so if you don't have a good shepherd, then what happens? The sheep are scattered and then they're ate by the wolves. They will ensure that the flock is civilized and safe. When the issue becomes long-term survival, the people will look for a pastoral anointing in their leader. So when it comes in terms of long-term survival, the people will always look for a pastoral anointing in their leader. So people don't, basically they don't look for, we understand as we've been going through our ministry gifts, we understand that the apostle and the prophets are basically looking to heaven, find out what it is that heaven wants, and bringing that to earth. So they are not so much concerned about the people themselves. They are more concerned about what God wants here in the earth. And so we saw that, we'll see that over in Acts chapter 6, when they needed someone to take care of the widows, and the apostles say they would take their time, they would in prayer and in ministering of the word rather than shepherding the sheep. So what they had to do, they had to go out and find those men who was full of faith, and I call them my table waiters. They went out and found table waiters to shepherd the sheep rather than the apostles shepherding the sheep. Let's find out how God feels about our pastor. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3, looking at verse 15, the word of God, this is Jeremiah speaking, and this is the way he was speaking. He was prophesying about what God said. God says, and I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So the pastor should, first of all, it should be after God's own heart. Just like he said about his son, Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He said that he would give the flock pastors after his own heart. And so it should be, first of all, you should be called by God. And you should, after you've been called, you should be sent by God also. And then that pastor will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So not just that you could, not just knowledge, because you can have, many people have knowledge, but they don't have understanding of the knowledge that they have. So you have to have the knowledge and the understanding to use the knowledge which you have received. So the pastor should teach you with knowledge and understanding. Turn to Acts chapter 20. We'll see it in the, that's the Old Testament version. We'll see it again over in the New Testament. Acts chapter 20. And verse 28, Acts 20:28, and the word of God says here, this is in the New Testament, and this is the church, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer. That's what he, that's the charge he's given to the pastor, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Remember Peter when Jesus came back and he began to walk the earth, and he came up to Peter and he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I love you, Lord. And he said, yeah. He said, feed my sheep. And then he asked him again. He said, Peter, do you love me? I'll show it to you in the scripture in a little bit. I'll go and find it for you. He said, yes, I do. He said, well, feed my lambs. And then he asked him again, and Peter got a little perturbed over him asking that. But he was telling Peter that he was going to be a pastor over his flock, and he wanted him to feed. He said, Lord, you know I do. You know, he had said that once before. He told him he would never leave him wherever he go. You know, he said he would lose, take his life. But this time he was, wanted to make sure. He told him to feed my sheep. And so that's, again, he wanted him to use feed him with knowledge and understanding so the body of Christ can understand exactly what he was saying to them and have knowledge and understand how to operate in the kingdom as Jesus began to teach, and all the way through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching his disciples how to operate in the kingdom. He said, what I'm doing here now, I'm teaching you how to operate the way I set it up. Turn to Acts. Yeah, we in Acts. Turn right back to Acts chapter 1. And this, and I'll just read the first verse. It says, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And what he was doing the kingdom, and he was teaching the kingdom. Everywhere he went, that's basically what he was doing. When he went out and he healed people of diseases, when he healed, gave sight to the blind, when he removed demonic oppression, he was doing the kingdom and teaching how the kingdom operates. And so when you understand what he was doing, now when you go back and you read the Gospels again, you can see in every chapter he was teaching the kingdom. He was doing the kingdom, and he was revealing to us how to operate in the kingdom. If the pastor are not connected to the apostles and the prophets, then their leadership will only focus, lead people back to a self focus. And so, as apostle is ministering, the thing he's pointing the people toward and focusing, having the people focus on, is focus on God. He wanted them to focus on the supernatural things that God is doing. He wanted them to focus on heaven. A man can receive nothing unless he receive it from heaven. So he wanted the apostles and the prophets. That's basically what they want. And so even Jesus, when he began to teach in Luke, when he told them, the disciples came and asked him how to teach him how to pray. And over in Matthew 6 is where he gave them that example prayer, how they should do. And the first three or four verses in Matthew 6 and I think it's 6 and 9, 6 and 8, where you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. So what he was doing, he was teaching them. He wanted them to understand that what was happening in heaven, he wants that to happen here on the earth in the body of Christ. So again, if the pastors are not connected, so what we're finding out in the body of Christ, 99%, probably 90 to 99% of the body of Christ is not connected to God's government correctly. And so that's why we're not seeing the supernatural operate in the church. We should see the supernatural operating in the church just like breathing. You don't think to breathe. And so we should not think about whether we're going to operate in the supernatural or not. When Jesus went out and the people was following him over in the Gospels, and they was getting ready to go out, they had came out in that wilderness place. They had no food. And the apostles asked him, where are we going to find food to feed all these people? They wanted to just send them back home and let them starve out there in that wilderness. And one of the things Jesus told him, it said that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He always operated in the kingdom. He always going to supply the needs of the people, because that's the way the kingdom operates. And so he know what he's going to do. So when we go up on a situation, we should always know what we're going to do. There should be no time that we operate and a person is not operating. The enemy has pressed or attacked the individual. We should always know what we're going to do based on the word of God. If someone is sick, we should lay hands on them like the word of God say, and they should be healed. The scripture tells us that you lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. If they are oppressed of the enemy, we should be able to cast out demons out of those individuals and remove the oppression. That's part of that coming to the fullness of the stature of Christ. The fullness of the stature of Christ. That's what when we stay here long enough and learn what God is ministering to us, then we should get to that point. As we see, as the scripture say, it ain't something that you're going to happen overnight. But if we continue to do it and continue to do it and continue to do it, eventually we get to that point. It's a until we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until, so that means that is a time, there's a process that takes place. And as we are learning, as we are maturing in the things of God, then we should eventually get there. We should never be the same. If we're the same today as we are, same tomorrow as we were today, then basically we're backslidden because we are still moving forward, but we're in the same position. So we're backslidden. God is always moving. He's always revealing fresh information, fresh revelation. And so in order for, we have to move with God. When God moves, we have to move with him. And that's the awesome thing about our apostle. Whatever God is doing, he's moving. He's never standing still. I've been here 18 years, and since I've been here, we have never stayed in the same spot. We're always moving forward. We're always going. There's always something fresh and something new that the Spirit of God is revealing to him, and he's coming back revealing it to the congregation. And he's not revealing it so we can have knowledge, but he also revealing it to us that we can have understanding of where he's going with it. Everything he's ministering, he tells us so we can have. And then that way we can go out and we can apply it to our everyday life. It ain't something that we just so we can have information. So again, if the pastors are not connected to the apostles and the prophets, then their leadership will only lead people back to a self-focus. Everybody basically in the body of Christ is looking, what is for me? They focus it on themselves rather than focusing on God. If you think about the scripture over in Hebrews 12 and 2, it goes through in 11, it talks about faith. In verse 1, it says, without faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We who come to God must believe that he is. And it goes through and it gives us a hall of fame. All those people operated in faith from all the way through Hebrews 11. And then it gets down to Hebrews 12. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Looking at verse 2. I might read 1 and 2. And again, I say, we have to get off ourselves, think about who we are and think about what God is showing us in the kingdom. Here in Hebrews 12, looking at verse 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, it's like we are in a race. I always say God is moving. He's constantly moving. And since he's moving, he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And he want us to learn. He want us to be trained in the thing. And the race is coming to that stature, that fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 2, he say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he said he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when he came, he knew what he had to do. He already knew what was going to happen to him when he came. He knew he had to go by way of the cross. But he didn't let that bother him. He just continued to do. He said, I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father. So the will of his Father was him to go onto the cross, shedding his blood on the cross so he could redeem man back to God. He redeemed every person that's on the face of the earth has the ability to come back into the presence of God. He reconciled us all back. If we come back to him, just like we were when Adam was in the garden, with our dominion, over all the fish of the sea, all the fowls of the air, and over every creeping thing upon the face of the earth. That's God's plan for us. That's what he wants for us. And it was through Jesus that he did it and brought everything back. And so, but he knew he had to do. He knew he had to shed the blood. He had to shed the blood for the sin of mankind. He knew he had to do that. He knew he had to hang on the cross. He said, but it didn't bother him that he was going to do that because he knew where he was going after he did that. It's funny how when, you know, we go through and we study and we read scripture now, you know, and the Spirit of God begin to reveal things. So you go back and you look at scripture and you begin to see things that the Spirit of God reveals to you. And he says that it says, again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, a throne of God. So if he's sitting down, a sit down position is a finished position. And so, you know, he said, that's why he could say it in John 17. He said, it is finished. I finished the work that my Father sent me to do. He was manifested in the earth realm to, he said, first of all, to destroy the works of the devil. And not only to destroy the works of the devil, he was to describe and teach the people about the kingdom of God and who God is. He was a manifestation of God in the flesh here on the earth realm. And so, and then he gave us an example. He became our example, how we as men can operate the way he did in the kingdom and do the same things that he did while he was here on earth. It's powerful when you begin to see it and how God set it up for us. And the pastor will have to give them a natural alternative. That's a continuation of the statement I made. And the pastors will have to give them a natural alternative to a supernatural life. Everybody in the kingdom who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should be operating in the supernatural. And so what's happening, we are operating in the natural. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And because why? They are foolishness to them. And so if you can't receive them, then everything, all these promises that God has promised us in the scripture, we cannot operate in them. We cannot receive them because we are too much in the natural and we should be looking for the supernatural. So turn to Matthew again, Matthew chapter 11. I have to keep putting Jesus here because he was our example. So, and as he began to minister, like I say, we who are connected to the apostle and we have chapters to read every day. And then we have to give key pointers on the chapters that you read. So you have to give, let him know what did you receive out of the scriptures, out of this chapter. And so, you know, two or three lines. So when you read a chapter and it's got 40 verses in it, you have to pick out the key information out of there. You know, you have to read through it and allow, you can't do it yourself, but you know, once you read it, then the Holy Spirit going to tell you exactly, he's going to show you exactly what in each one of these chapters he's showing us what we need to do. And so that's, a pastor is supposed to be training his flock so that as Jesus was teaching the disciples and the people that he was with, the apostles, the pastors in every church, rather than getting up with emotion and inspiration, we should be training, teaching people how to operate in the kingdom. That's the job. That's the job of the fivefold ministry gift. But basically what we've come as ministers of the gospels, as preachers and pastors, we've become more entertainers than ministers like God. God say, He's going to give us pastors after his own heart who should teach the people with knowledge and understanding. And so if you don't have knowledge and understanding what's going to happen when you're going to go to service on a Sunday morning, you're going to spend those 2 hours in church, and you're going to live in that wrong side of the kingdom. And that John 10:10 kingdom where it says Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You're going to live more over here, even though you're born again, you're in the kingdom of God, but you're going to live a defeated life because you don't know, have that knowledge and understanding how to operate in the kingdom, because no one has taught us how to operate in the kingdom. We know some scriptures, but we still don't know how to operate in the kingdom. I was going to Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 11 and 25. And so when we begin to look, minister and teach the people how to operate in the supernatural and give them a supernatural alternative to a natural function, this is how it should operate. In Matthew chapter 11, looking at verse 25, and that time Jesus answered and said, and he was giving them a lesson in the scriptures here. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babe. And, you know, one of the things that we always say in the kingdom of God, we cannot receive things in our natural man. Everything that we operate, if we're going to operate in the supernatural, we have to constantly get revelation from the Spirit of God. And once we get that revelation, then we can operate in the supernatural. Revelation means that God has revealed either a word to me or a real scripture to me. And now if I follow that scripture, God said, my word is not going to return to me void, but it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And then we begin to operate in the supernatural the way God said, you don't have to do it. You don't have to perform it. He said, I'm going to perform it. But we have to have faith that what he gave us, that word, that he's going to do exactly what he said. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he said, faithful is he that calleth us, who shall also do it. When we start studying this this lesson, and Jesus, God said, I'm going to put the government up on his shoulder. He's talking about to us a son is given, and the government is going to be up on his shoulder, and of his peace there shall be no end. He was saying that, he said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. It's not by our performance. This is by what God has already provided us for us through Jesus Christ. And what we have to do, we have to have faith to receive that which he provided for us. And so, as apostle, been ministering and teaching, he's been teaching us on grace. He's been teaching us on faith. Ephesians 2:8 say we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. So we receive the things of God, what Jesus has provided for us. We have to receive it by faith. And once we receive it by faith, then we can operate in what he already provided for us. Watch what he says here in verse 26. He said, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him to. And so if the Son doesn't reveal, if we don't get revelation knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what happened to Peter. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 18. He said, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so in order for us to operate in the kingdom, in the supernatural, we have to be taught how to operate in the supernatural and in the things of God. He goes on to say, then he's in verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. That's Jesus. Jesus said that. He said, come unto me. That's again, you can go back and attach that scripture back in Hebrews 12 and 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, our faith. That's a, you know, that's a place we can stay. When I'm looking at that, I can look over at Psalm 91. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So what are you saying? You take your focus off of you. You're looking at Jesus, who's our who we should always be focusing on. It also, you can see it in Acts, Acts over in Acts, where he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're in a situation, we want to operate in the supernatural, in the kingdom of God, the way God set it up. And then he's given us means. He's given us ways that we can operate in the supernatural. But again, we have to have faith. God has already provided for us these things. Every promise of God in this Bible is yea and amen for us who believe. And that's believe, not just Hebrews 11, 6 again. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he is God, and that he rewards them that diligently seek him. And so when we're diligently seeking him, what we're doing, we are taking our focus off ourselves, and we're putting our focus on the one who's able to provide whatever we need for that particular situation. And so when we do that, then that's when the supernatural begins to operate. We're taking our focus off ourselves and our needs, our desires. When Jesus began to teach it on that prayer, one of the things he went through that whole list of things about all the various animals. And he said, you know, they neither sow nor toil. And he said, but the Father already knows what we have need of. But we have to come to him in faith, believing that he's willing to do that. He've already provided for us those things. And then again, you know, when I'm ministering, I can hear my apostle. I can see him. He say, you know, our faith does not move God. He said, God has already provided everything that he's going to give to us. But what our faith does cause those things to come toward us. And so we have faith for it. Then we can receive the things that he's already provided. Everything that we need, he's already provided for us through Jesus Christ. He goes on and say, he said, take my yoke, verse 29. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We are being given an awesome revelation on the souls, how the soul now, our soul prevents us from receiving the things of God because of what we're thinking, our processes. The kingdom, the spirit is perfect. It has everything that God has provided, but because of our soul, we cannot receive those things. That's why our thinking process is. That's why our imaginations are. And so since we can't actually see the things of God, then we don't receive the things of God. Verse 30 says, for my yokes is easy and my burdens are light. So Jesus taught so hard that he wanted the body of Christ to operate in the supernatural. Let me give you a couple more pointers here. It's a when a pastoral anointing is the primary leader, the people expect to be the center of the universe. And so and that's why many churches, rather than the pastor leading the church, the deacon board is leading the church. Some committee is leading the church. Some person who's given their most tithes in the church are leading the church. And so that pastor cannot, if he teaches them, if God has given him some revelation that he should be imparting to the people, then if that person who's leading the church rather than the pastor leading the church, then that revelation is not going to go forward. The people are not going to get understanding of that information, of that knowledge. And then what's going to happen? They're going to still lead those defeated life. And like I say, if the pastor is not in charge, even though he's the supposed to be the shepherd, then he basically becomes a hireling rather than the shepherd. And so God said, I need the church. I need this supernatural entity in the body of Christ to be functional in the kingdom. The kingdom should be here on the earth. The church or the body of Christ is a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God. We are supernatural beings in the church. And so since we all are, we should all be operating in the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. He's our Father. And since he's our Father, Jesus knew that. And since he knew that, he could operate in the kingdom the way God set it up. And so we should get to that point that we can operate in the kingdom the way he did. I want to show you, it says, when the pastor anointing is the primary leader, the people expect to be the center of the universe. Turn to Acts chapter 6. And here's a good example of the people expecting to be, they wanted their need. I always want their needs, man. I need. They ain't so much concerned about the supernatural, but they are concerned about their everyday needs. And if they would learn the things of God, then God said, I'm going to supply your every need. Here in Acts chapter 6, looking at verse 1, it says, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, and there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. That means, you know, it appeared that they was neglected. They had to be eating and all those good things. It said, then the 12 called the multitude. That was the 12 disciples or 12 apostles at that time Jesus had chosen. He said, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So what he was saying was we should not go back to these trivial things, waiting on the people. We should take our time, spend our time in prayer and in ministering of the word. Again, that they could minister, that's the apostles. They spend their time in prayer, finding out, seeking what heaven wants here on the earth so they can bring it back and share with the people and then they can operate in the supernatural. It says, then the disciples say, wherefore, brethren, look out among you, 7 men of earnest report, full of the Holy Ghost. So that's a criteria. That's a criteria for a member of the body of Christ. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he set the example. That's why he say, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. So that you could operate in the kingdom the way I set it up. So all throughout the book of Acts, when the church begun, everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. They had that same power. So that's why you could see signs and wonders and miracles operating in the church. But somewhere along the line, it got lost. They came through the dark ages. Christians was persecuted. They was put in hot oil. And so they got scared and they began to run and hide in caves and places like that. And so then when they came back and the light began to come back in the body of Christ, then men began to set their own doctrine in the body of Christ. And so they lost the ability to operate in the supernatural. But now God says, it's my time. And what I'm doing now is revealing back to my apostles and the prophets. It's time for the thing what I set up. It's always on God's timing. And so since it's God's timing, it's this time that he want to restore. Restore means something was already in place at one time, but he's restoring it back to the place that it once was. And that place where it once was the church, the body of Christ, would operate in the supernatural. It was operating so much in the supernatural until it said that Peter and John, they could pass by and even their shadows could hear people. Can you imagine that? You walk up on somebody and they're sitting there and they're sick, they're in pain, and your shadow passed by them and they get up and say, wow, something just went through me and I'm completely healed. You know, I have no pain in my body. That's the kingdom of God. That's the way God wants the kingdom to operate here on earth. That's God's heart. He paid an awesome price for that to happen in the body of Christ. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, that it could take place in the earth, not in heaven. We don't need that in heaven where we need it here on earth. And so he sent Jesus here on earth so that it can operate here on earth the way it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No sickness, no disease, no lack, no poverty. He wants that. That's what God wants here on earth. And so, but again, we have to learn how to operate in this kingdom. And men, there are men who have been obedient to God, following God, and we begin to see his glory manifested in the earth. It says, wherefore, brethren, look out ye among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Minister of helps, you know, apostles can't do everything. So what do you have to do? He had to find people who are full of the Holy Ghost, who are going to help him carry. That's why I say for the work of the ministry, you have to have individuals who are trained to operate in the ministry. And so you have to mature. We can't, you know, you cannot. Galatians, the Apostle Paul said, as long as we're children, we're just like servants. Galatians chapter 5. We're just like children, even though we be Lord of all. We are no better than a servant. And so we have to mature. We have to grow up in the things of God. He said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of earnest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And watch what the apostles said. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That means that they're going to, you know, most of their time is spent in the presence of God, seeking what God wants, just like Jesus did. Jesus, when he came down and he ministered, he healed people, he would always go back up in a mountain. You find him going back in a mountain, praying. What he's doing? He's seeking God, finding out what you want, Father. And that's why he could say, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father, that his Father is coming. He's revealing to him what he wanted him to teach today, what he wanted him to say today. And when he do that, then those supernatural functions can take place. And so what has happened now, the Father has given us apostles, that we don't have to spend that time in prayer as much as he do. His purpose is to spend his time in prayer and in ministering of the word. And then what we're to do, we're to come back. And when he ministers the word to us, we have to know that through him, that God is speaking to us what God wants here on the earth. And so we can go back when we started this lesson. One of the things we saw, it says in Matthew 10:41, it says, he that receiveth an apostle. He that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. And so that means that whatever God has put on that apostle, in that apostle, we receive what's on his life, and he imparts that to us so we can walk on. That's where the kingdom operates. That's where God operates in the kingdom. And so it goes on to say one more thing. And he said, but we will give ourselves continue to prayer and to minister the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Why? Because it was concerned about themselves. They can find somebody who's going to come and serve them and wait on them on a daily basis. They say they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas. And then it said, and whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's part of our vision. When we begin to study and begin to pray, God gives us this part of this vision. So that's part of our vision. And in fact, it's on, if you see the podium downstairs in the sanctuary, it says Acts 6:7. And God says, and then word of God increased. Part of it is, you know, vision here is changing lives of people with the word of God. So, and a number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. A great company of priests became obedient to the faith. And so as we become obedient to the faith, then we begin to see those supernatural acts manifested in the earth realm. Give me some more pointers. And unfortunately, the pastor strives for a season in that expectation, but usually what happens, burnouts take place. And because burnout takes place, then the people are not being ministered to. Our pastor gets tired. If he's trying to run to every funeral, every time someone gets sick and go, he have to go to the hospital. If he have to, someone have a problem, he have with their children, he have to come in and pray for them. Then what happens? Eventually, he gonna burn out. And when he burns out, then that which he's designed to do, which is to shepherd the sheep and feed them with knowledge and understanding, he's not gonna be able to do that. Why? Because he's not going to be able to spend his time in the presence of God because he's being overworked physically. And again, that's why I say if that apostolic anointing is he's operating under an apostolic and prophetic anointing, then his job becomes easy because what has happened? The apostles and the prophets have found out what heaven wants, and then they are passing that down the line. When you see a ministry that's operating in that type of government, then you'll find out that everybody is operating on the same line. You see signs and wonders begin to operate in those ministries. You know, there are quite a few, and you know, there are more that's coming up. But like I said, there's an apostolic head, and they are passing down to the people that's imparting to those individuals that's under them. And then everybody's working, and they're becoming as one man. And then as we come as one man, then those supernatural functions begin to operate. But when the pastoral anointing is connected to an apostle and a prophet, it provides another vital piece of the flow from heaven to earth. Another vital piece from heaven to earth. And so then people begin to understand when things like Romans 12, 2, or Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. It learns about our spirit, soul, and body. It learns about that, about the supernatural, that we're not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know, that we can know what God's good and perfect will is. Why? Because the apostles have found out from heaven what that will is. And when he found out from heaven, he's going to come back either through pastors. We just came out of ministerial conference the first part of this year. And all the ministers and the pastors that was under our apostle, guess what? They can go back now. They've been imparted to the things that heaven wants here on the earth. Now they can go back to their congregation, whether they're in Seattle, Washington, or whether they're in Richmond, Virginia, whether they're in Baltimore, Maryland, or what, just some area, local areas here. They can go back. We know what heaven wants now because the apostle had came and given it to us. Now we can go back and feed our flock and our sheep with knowledge and understanding so they can operate. So we don't need to spend as much time in seeking God, even though we do. We spend time in prayer and in ministering of the word. But the apostle's spending all of his time in prayer and in the ministering of the word. So he's finding out what heaven wants. And when he finds out what heaven wants, and then the pastors and the teachers can go back and minister to the flock, to the body of Christ. And then now what happens? We can become mature. We can, more of us can work in the ministry. We can edify the body of Christ. And we're coming to that fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. These caring, compassionate leaders are the necessary solution to the backdoor problem that apostles and prophets have in their leadership environment. What happens in an apostolic or prophetic environment is that, again, remember what happens. The apostles and the prophets are not so much concerned about the people, but they're concerned about what heaven wants. And since they're concerned about what heaven wants, the people feel neglected in their daily ministration. I mean, they feel neglected. If they sit and listen, then God gonna show how they're gonna be provided in those situations. But they, you know, we become so human, and because we become human, we miss out on what God and the supernatural wants. Pastors in a revival culture brings leadership to the people. If they can maintain a dual focus on heaven and the people, then they will be the ones who bring a revival culture to the everyday lives of people. The pastoral anointing is in an apostolic anointing can lead many people because the people no longer need the power or the presence of the pastor. So what has happened in that anointing, if the pastor is under that apostolic anointing, then they are being trained. That's again, that's part of that training that we get. That's part of the maturing, for the maturing of the saints. So we don't need as much shepherding, because when if they're listening to their pastors and hearing what they're saying, they know that God is speaking through them, and then they can go out and fend for themselves. They don't have to call the pastor every time a minute crisis crop up, a life event come up. Not your life. It's just a life event that comes up. You know how to handle that because you've been trained and you have been taught how to operate in it. They connect the people to the supernatural environment created by the apostles and the prophets, leading the people into the presence of God to find the solution for life's problems. Amen. And so that's basically, like I said, I gave you some pointers. All this is in the book somewhere. I got some key pointers out here for the pastor. Next week, we'll try to go into the evangelist. I don't have as much on the evangelist. And then we'll get into some other aspects of the culture of honor. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we give you glory, Father. We thank you that you open our eyes that we see. You open our ears that we can hear. And you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Meditation scripture. We always need one. Acts 10:38. We'll use that as our meditation scripture. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. As our meditation scripture for this week. Amen. All right.